problem is once you start needing your art to make money, you start making compromises in your art. So, and I call this the sexy bunny problem, because I had this time where I was accepting like commissions before I started doing like this Christian art, and somebody came to me and they were like, what I need is like, could you draw me this like sexy bunny? And it was like, no, I don't want, like, I don't want to do that. But what it illustrated was you can get into a point where, you know, you're trying to pay a bill and somebody brings you work, and now you're having to juggle your ethics or, you know, the things that you want to do with being able to make money. So.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth in Christ Show, a show where we inspire the masses to become financially free while building God's kingdom. Today we have Mr. Paul Maignard. Mr. Paul Maignard is a Christian artist who draw people who have said a lot of interesting things in the Christian faith. Today we'll discuss Mr. Paul's artistic journey and how he uses art to inspire the Christians around the world. So thank you for being here, Mr. Paul Maignard.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So how did you get started as an artist? You know, what, you know, was this something that you learned over time, or this was something you was born with as a gift? So how did you get started as an artist?
Definitely not born with it. I will say I've always been a person that kind of draws. So I've always been a doodler of sorts. I don't have any art education other than like drawing class at high school or whatnot, but it's always been something I've been interested in. For years, I've kind of dabbled in things here or there, but it wasn't until I started taking notes at church where things kind of took off for me. Like I found this place where instead of dozing off or thinking about what I was going to eat for lunch, I started taking notes, and I tried to make it more interesting. So I'd start incorporating drawing and things like that. I got introduced to the idea of sketchnoting. I don't know if you've seen like Mike Rohde's book, just that idea of taking notes that's not necessarily so much like getting down every detail, but more drawing your notes in a way to where you can remember the important things later. So, and then COVID hit, I started drawing a lot more. I was exposed to a lot more different churches, mainly because they were all shut down. So it was like, well, let's see what else is out here. And I started posting them on Instagram, and then 3 years later, here we are. I've got drawings of people. I've done a lot of quotes. I think I'm up to over 300 different people that are on the site. I need to count at some point, because that's a lot. But yeah. So it's been, you know, something the Lord's kind of led me through step by step. It's been a slow journey. I couldn't have, you know, when I first started, I would have never thought like, oh yeah, I'm totally going to go draw pictures of people on Instagram and you know, have their quotes on there, but here we are.
thank God, because now that's very unique, and that's kind of what made me draw close to him. Like, wait, I never seen a page like this or seen anybody ever, I guess, interpret like Christian in terms of like art. It's usually more video content or book, and just to see like you highlighting different speakers and they're of different race, not any specific race, you know, and what they said that's impactful to faith. And I want to kind of ask, you know, in terms of the drawing, like, you know, are you like using AI? How are you drawing the pictures? How are you generating the pictures?
I draw them all on my iPad. So I've got a 12.9-inch iPad Pro, and I use Procreate, which is a $10 drawing software that you can use on the iPad. And that's it. So I've kind of got a process down now. I've done enough of them where it's like, okay, I kind of, you know, I'm able to pull some reference on the internet of what a person would look like and what their mannerisms would look like. I'm able to get the line drawings out pretty quickly now. I've kind of picked up my own style just from doing it a whole lot. Every drawing that you see is 100% hand drawn and shaded and all that stuff. I've dabbled a little bit with, not with the AI art, like the AI generation stuff, but more they've got some tools out there that does generative lighting where you can like take an image and upload it. And I think my drawings are detailed enough to where it can, you know, tell out an eye or a nose or something like that. And I've tried to use some of those tools. So I'm trying to like mix around a little bit, like the tools that I use. If I was really smart, I would create a template and figure out how to use that, but I haven't gotten there yet. So every time every background's totally unique. Every person's totally unique. Every quote I draw out, I always like think like, oh, I should write out a font. That would be easier than hand lettering this every single time. But I haven't gotten there yet. So
that's good. And I want to ask, you know, you say you've been doing this since COVID, specifically through COVID. You know, what are some, I guess, interesting moments you have had in this journey that stands out, you know, from posting a certain person, or maybe another a time where it didn't go as well, like you didn't expect, you got the reaction that you wasn't expecting from a post or a drawing?
Yeah, so it's highs and lows for sure. So sometimes I draw somebody, I think people take it in the way I mean it. I'm very intentional that I never pick somebody to like put them down. You know, I'm not trying to like take somebody's hot take and like use their image against them. So it's like, I always try to do it in a spirit of like, this was a very unique or an interesting thing that you said. And, you know, I try to honor that person and saying that. Having said that, sometimes it doesn't turn out right. I've had some people say, you know, could you take it down? This isn't for me. And 100%, like I don't hold any grudges. If anybody's like, I don't like it, you know, I take it down. So sometimes it's gone sideways. But you know, for the most part, people are very gracious. You know, even it's hard because it's like, you're trying to capture people's likenesses, but they haven't asked me to do it. So it's one of those, yeah. Like when you go to a theme park and somebody characterizes you, it's kind of part of the fun, right? Like, oh, if you got a big nose, they draw a big nose. But then when I do it, it's like they weren't asking for that. And sometimes I get see where it's a little strange and it can be like a little much. And so, yeah, in those cases, when it does go sideways, people are very amicable. I take it down. I apologize. Like, hey, I wasn't trying to do anything. I appreciate your work and whatnot. So, but sometimes it goes really well. Like you make a drawing, you make it very interesting. Somebody really likes it. Somebody that I really admire will see it and think, oh man, this is really cool. The ones that I didn't expect to get to me, there's some that I've drawn of people who have died, like they're deceased, and they keep those drawings, like the family will keep the drawings, and I'll see it later. Like there's a guy here locally in Lynchburg who passed away, and at his place of business, like they keep my drawing up on the wall of him, and it's like that stuff's really, you know, kind of get you, because that's a little more of the stuff that lasts beyond, you know, yeah, the immediacy of social media. So those times are really cool.
That's pretty dope, and that's actually pretty cool. Like, you know, I guess for me, just to share with the audience, like when I saw the drawing, I guess it just took me back to, you know, you often see like artists or different artists from different faith, or, you know, I mean, not necessarily be Christian, they draw like Beyonce or they draw Drake, and I never seen anyone like, okay, I'm gonna draw this person who's in a Christian faith, highlight them, you know, something that they said that could be impactful. So that's what, for me, that was like, wow, I need to find out what more, like what inspired you to even want to do that. And, you know, being that said, you know, you said that you take pictures down, you know, if somebody reach out to you, but I also want to ask, you know, have you ever got any kind of constructive feedback in terms of like, okay, how you may have drawn a person, you know, in terms of the likeness, or, you know, art can be very interesting, as you mentioned. So have you ever got any kind of constructive feedback, and how do you deal with those constructive feedbacks?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, usually when I get the feedback, it's like I've misrepresented them. Like, you know, somebody will say like, I'm really not that heavy, or I'm not that bald, or, you know, like something like that, which, you know, again, it's like, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm not trying to, you know, put anybody down. So when those come, you know, I accept them. Usually I offer somebody like, hey, I could redo this, or I'll take it down. You know, it's like, I don't want to embarrass anybody or anything like that. Most of the times, though, I get feedback, it's very playful. You know, people are, you know, kind of, you know, it's a weird thing to wake up and have, you know, get tagged with a drawing of yourself. Like you said, especially if you're not a celebrity, I think that's one of the reasons why I kind of stood in here. You know, number one, it is fun to draw people. And I do say, as a portrait artist or a caricature artist, you do really start to appreciate people's faces and the things that make us different about each other. And you it's enjoyable to draw, you know, it's the famous people are great, but they're all beautiful and perfect. And it's frankly just not, it's not as interesting. So, yeah. You know, it's like you want people to have some distinct features and whatnot. So, no, I mean, you take it all with humility and just, you know, and like I said, most everybody is very cool about everything. I've had some people get a little upset, but it hasn't been that bad. And usually when they do get upset, it was my fault. Like I messed up something. And it's crazy how much like a single line will destroy a drawing, you know, like you draw a nose like just wrong. You draw it too long. You hit that line just wrong. You know, make the shoulders too. I mean, it's amazing how much like one line will change a drawing. So, you know, I think with all art, the more you can be receptive to what people think. Well, I shouldn't say that. Sometimes depending on what you're doing, you got to stick with it, right? Like it's your own personal style. It's your own thing. You know, one of mine is I really don't use color. Like that's just not something I do. And I'm pretty open about that. I know it'd be more interesting for the drawings, but it would be something so frustrating for me. I don't think I would draw that much. So I kind of stay away from that. So, yeah, no. So when people have problems, I mean, you take it in, you catalog it. If it's something that's constructive and means something, you take it. If it's not, you let it wash off and carry on.
Okay. And I kind of want to like, just a tag along to the conversation. Do you think the reason why some people may have some, I guess, feel a type of way towards the art, because it's not something that's common in the Christian world where you may draw somebody a speaker, you know, like, you know, people like Drake or anybody of that kind of celebrity, they used to see art all over. So do you feel like in this Christian community that we don't appreciate art in the way it is appreciated in other communities?
Well, that's an interesting one, because I would say, I mean, you know, obviously art as a term, like Christian recording artists are big, yeah. Right? Like they seem to be just as big as secular recording artists. Pastors at times can be just as big, you know, like Joel Osteen fills a stadium every week, you know, yeah. It's like, so I think there is some overlap there. There are some parts where it's kind of hard to know what to do with different types of art, you know, like when I first started posting stuff, the biggest thing everybody, or the biggest feedback I was here is, oh, you should come in and do stuff for our children's ministry, right? Like that was like, you should come back and draw with the kids. And it was like, well, that's not what I'm doing, you know? Uh-huh. So it's, I think there are some places where, you know, the art isn't necessarily, I don't want to say understood, we just don't know what to do with it yet. So yeah. I don't know. I would love to see more artists. I would love to see more Christian artists, especially like come out a little bit. I think, you know, it's hard because it's like there's, unless you are a Christian recording artist or really just if you're any kind of artist, getting paid can be difficult. So it's hard to kind of pour, you know, everything into it. I would say there's definitely more and more of appreciation. The only problem you find with Christian art that you don't find with regular art, you know, like if a song comes out and people don't like it in the secular world, they just don't like it, right? Yeah. But if you come out with a song and people don't like it, it's very easy for people to align their theology on why yeah. they don't like your song, and now you're a heathen or you're a wolf, you know, something else. So not only did you write a song they don't like, you are an apostate, and you know, like you go down these really dark roads where it's like I'm just making art, man. You know, it's like so that social media is kind of notorious for that, right? Yeah. Like everybody's got an attitude or an opinion on everything, and they're gonna let you know what it is for sure.
And just to continue on that conversation, you know, being the fact that a lot of people do have a lot of different theological, you know, different beliefs in a Christian faith. What is your creative process in terms of choosing who you're going to draw, you know, what statement you may take from their sermon? What is that process? You can walk me through that process.
Yeah. So when I was first doing it, it was basically, I was just drawing people that were in my sphere of influence, right? So basically my church and people that would come to my church. But as time went on, I wanted to hear from more voices and more people. And I'm really interested to hear about people who don't agree with me, right? So it's like, I don't want to just hear the same things that I believe in. Like, I kind of want to hear other things too. Now, I'm not like, oh, let me go walk down the local Satanist church and hear what they got to say. But, you know, when I kind of unite under that all, like, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all united under the belief of the resurrected Christ. And in that, I can listen to people who have disagreements on things. So it was more like reaching out and seeing different people, especially that have different experiences. You know, it's really easy, especially online, to get in a silo of people who think just like you on everything. And to get in this binary thinking of like, well, if you're not with me on this, you're against me on everything. And I always found that very unfortunate. You know, cause it's like, there's no curiosity in there. There's no learning. It's just kind of like, you're just closing the pinhole on your ideas and everything. And so I think I lost the question, but my process. So I, you know, it's kind of a messy process. Basically, the way I do it right now is, as I come across things that I see, I take notes, and, you know, I'll take screenshots of people who say something interesting or tweets or things like that. I keep them all in a folder, and then, you know, I kind of will go through every now and then and pick a couple out that, oh, this would be really interesting. This would be something else. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, I don't want to say a lot, but, you know, there are people that I'll pick that say something that's super interesting that I don't necessarily agree with their whole theology or everything they do, but that thing that they said, that statement or that thought, is something that we could, you know, come together on. So I try, you know, it's like, I don't want to, you know, the way to get really successful on social media is to kind of like put your finger in people's eye, right? Like, I'm going to say this really awful thing or this really like broad statement in such a way where it, you know, people were going to react kind of viscerally to it. But I try to pick out stuff that's a little gentler, a little more nuanced than some of that. I wish I could tell you like, oh man, I've got this like clearly defined process, but it's still pretty messy. But I try to do it in a way that doesn't necessarily generate clicks, but it's just things that I see where I'm like, huh, that was a really good idea. And here you go, everybody, let's talk about this.
That's good. So how much time would you say you go about researching different people or watching different sermons? Like, how much time would you say you allocate to that per week or per day?
I mean, part of it's just being on social media. You know, I catch a lot from that. You know, so if I was to allocate it, I've limited it recently where I try not to be on too much because it's really easy, especially when you get some steam on an account where you're just checking in all the time and you're answering comments and you're responding to DMs, and it could just be a lot. So I try to limit it. So it's, you know, no more than an hour a day of kind of scrolling and like, oh, that's really neat. Or, you know, somebody will say this sermon was fire. Like, all right, let me go save that. And when I'm actually drawing, I'll listen to sermons and things that I've saved. So I try to kind of double up a little bit. You know, on things like that. So, you know, in the mornings when I'm drawing, it's usually between 1 to 2 hours. So I'll catch some sermon that I've got saved there. And, you know, it's no more than probably an hour for the rest of the day on social media, just picking out things. Having said that, I mean, my idea folder where I keep all this stuff, I've got like hundreds and hundreds of things in there. So it's like if I didn't do any more research, I'd be fine for, you know, at least a year or two. Okay. So yeah, it's kind of a huge collection of things, but it depends on day to day, but yeah, that's probably, it's again, kind of messy, like my drawing process, but it's working for the time being.
That's understandable. And I want to kind of go back to a statement that you made earlier in regards to finance. While a lot of people may not come out as a Christian artist, you know, one, because of being Christian, and two, like, as you mentioned, you know, if someone does not like anything in the secular world, just like they don't like it, and that's it, and the person can't redeem themselves. But in this Christian world, like, you have to be on point on which you're theological and everything. So how do you go about managing the financial contribution you put towards, you know, building this platform, you know, into your art systems? Like, how do you go about it, and how would you recommend others who may be looking or aspiring to become artists as well?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Because to make a living as an artist is already really difficult, right? Like, anybody who's going into any artistic field, movie making, music, writing, you know, visual art, like, or illustration, like I do, it's difficult. And it's even more difficult, or it can be more difficult in this Christian sphere, because you're dealing with places that aren't necessarily, that don't necessarily have these huge art budgets, right? It's not Coca-Cola, your local church isn't necessarily putting aside money like, all right, this 30 grand will go to local artists. It's like, they're not doing that. So the trick is, or the thing that's always worked for me is like to do the art as a side job. Like it's always over and above what I do. So during the day, I'm a web developer. I make web applications. I work on websites. I work in enterprise software, and that pays the bills. And what that does is take all the pressure off my art. Like my art doesn't need to make money. So it makes it that I can keep doing the things I want to do. Because the problem is, once you start needing your art to make money, you start making compromises in your art. So, and I call this the sexy bunny problem, because I had this time where I was accepting like commissions before I started doing like this Christian art. And somebody came to me and they were like, what I need is like, could you draw me this like sexy bunny? And it was like, no, I don't want, like, I don't want to do that. But what it illustrated was, you can get into a point where, you know, you're trying to pay a bill and somebody brings you work, and now you're having to juggle your ethics or, you know, the things that you want to do with being able to make money. So the nice thing is, because web development pays for my family, it feeds my kids, it feeds my wife, it pays the mortgage, it does all that, my art doesn't need to do that. So I can keep it, I don't want to say pure, because that's not a great description, but I can keep it something that I want to do and that I'm interested in, and I don't have to make compromises on it. I keep everything really bare bones, like my expenses, I paid for my iPad. Every time I sell something, I kind of do tests to figure out like what's going to sell. Like when I started selling stickers, that was something, that's on hold right now, but that was something I was doing there for a while. Like I didn't go set up a store and I didn't pay a couple $100 to get stickers made. Like Sticker Mule had a deal and they're like, we'll make 50 stickers for $10. So I got that. And then I posted on my stories like, hey, if you want a sticker, Venmo me $5. And then, you know, those all sold out. So then all of a sudden I had $250 from like $20 investment. And it was like, ooh, how can I figure this out? How can I do this? And all of that was possible because I wasn't relying on that money to pay a bill. I wasn't relying on money for anything. It was all extra. So as an artist, that was gold, because I wasn't having to compromise my art, or I wasn't having to spend time making art for pay. I was able to continue doing what I like doing. And then the money that came in extra was used to fund anything that I needed to pay for, basically.
No, I think that's— Hey family, I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. And if you are, and you have yet to subscribe to us here on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. And also, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts and you have yet to leave us a 5-star review, please do so. Now back to the episode.
It's very important that you mentioned that you have a full-time job, and, you know, while you're building this business and taking payoff. I feel like, you know, because of pandemic and a lot of entrepreneurs, you want to say, they have made it seem like you have to, you know, go into the business 6 months, you have to become successful. If you're not, you fail it. And I do appreciate the fact that, you know, you mentioned that you do have a full-time job. And, you know, I wanted to ask, you know, being that said you have a full-time job, I'm sure artists are going to listen to this. You know, how would you encourage an artist who may want to get started into, you know, drawing as a career? You know, what should they do? Like, what, like, if you can get like 5 steps in terms of, okay, this is what you should do, this is what you should look out for as an artist, you know, because you said it's not something that happens overnight. It's a long period of time, long period of art after art, you know, testing different things. So what would you say to upcoming artists?
Yeah, so that's interesting. What I would say to an art, the most important thing that I developed with Sketchy Sermons wasn't necessarily, I mean, some of it was my art and my style and the followers, but really the process was the biggest thing. Getting in the habit daily of making art, even though I wasn't getting paid for it. You know, I think it's hard because there's a lot of psychology when people get into art. Like they want to sell prints or they want to do commissions. But it's like they're trying to leapfrog, right? Like they're thinking like, oh, I'm an artist and I want to get paid for this and I want to leapfrog there. And it's like you can't do it, you're not ready. Yeah. You know, so it's like you almost need to be a person that makes art consistently and knows how to do that. And then when somebody comes in and says, hey, I want to pay you for this, like you already kind of know the process to go through to do that. It's kind of like on social media, I'll put it closer to social media because I haven't created like the full art business yet. A lot of times I think I leave a lot of money on table with sketchy sermons because I don't necessarily know the art part of it. But I find when it comes to growing a following, there's a lot of similarities between business, and it has a lot to do with routine and consistency and basically just hustling. And the hustling part for social media, which I'm imagining is the same for business, is communication with people. So when I first started, you know, I was like everybody else. I had zero followers. I had nothing on there, but I would reply to every comment. I would respond to every DM. Anytime anybody shared anything, I would follow up and write them. Anytime anybody wanted anything, you know, I was on it. Like I was Johnny on the spot. And I think building those muscles will help an artist as they grow and they want to expand this, because you can't, the things that you do when you have like 100 followers don't work when you have 2,000 followers or 20,000 followers.
Yeah.
And if you leapfrog, you're in trouble because you don't know, like you don't have the muscle how to do that. It's like you, like, oh, I play seventh grade basketball. And it's like, well, let's go have you play in D3 college. Like, that's not, like, that doesn't work. Yeah. You got to go through the steps. Otherwise, you're going to be in a lot of trouble when you wind up over here. So for artists, I would recommend, you know, it's hard. It's never been easier to build a following and to build a business out of your art, but it's still hard. And a lot of it comes down to the boring stuff that nobody wants to talk about, which is taking your time, you know, get your job, pay for your bills, not using your art. I feel like that's the biggest thing, because if you, it's like you're starting a fire and you drop a log on it, right? Like the fire's not ready for it. You know, and then when you finally grind and get enough to where it's like, I'm spending way too much of my off time feeding this business and my regular job is getting in the way, then you can kind of shift your priorities, right? But you can't do it ahead of time. There's too many times where I see people, they quit their job. Like, I'm going to pursue my art full time. So I quit. Yeah. And it's like, oh, don't do that. like at the very least, go down to part-time. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it can't be just a straight off cutoff because there's so much to learn and you can't, it's frustrating. I found you can't just learn the stuff from a book, right? Like nobody ever reads a business book. They get all the way through it and like, I know everything. Like I figured it out. Yeah. It's like, it's different for everybody. Everybody's business is different. And I would argue the slower you can build that process, the more successful it's going to be. The faster it is, the harder time people are going to have. So, you know, I hate to, you know, pour water on anybody's like fire, because I know people just want to like, man, that's it. I'm going to put in my 2 weeks. I hate this job, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, sometimes that job is a gift and be thankful for it, because it's allowing you to be true to the art that you're making and who you are. And just enjoy that process. Stay consistent, build your routine, keep working, talk to everybody, be open. So if I would say anything, that was probably too long-winded of an answer, but I would say anybody, if anybody's sitting there right now and they're like, I got this full-time job and I want to get into art, you don't need to get paid to be an artist. Like if you make art, you're an artist. Just start making art. If you've only got 15 minutes a day, like do whatever you can in 15 minutes, post it on social media, reply to comments, reply to people, build your following, and the money will come eventually. Or at least the testing will come. Because if you can't build, you know, if you can't get 1,000 people on social media to like what you're doing, you might need to change directions. Maybe it's not interesting. You know, I find a lot of people, especially illustrators, they want to do a lot of fan art, right? So it's a lot of like Spider-Man or manga or something like that. And all of that's fine. But if you're doing that kind of stuff, if you're making art and all it is just, your skill, then you've got to be the best. And there are, you know, there are 13 years olds out there that are just drawing hoops around me, like no problem. So it's like finding that style, finding that mission. Like for me, you know, finding that weird niche of like drawing Christians in quotes, like, you know, like where did that even come from? You know, and I think everybody's got to find their own version of that, that thing that they enjoy, that the market wants, that they like doing, that they can pull off. So it's a lot of experimentation, a lot, but like I said, a lot of routine, just getting in there daily, doing your thing, hustling, making it work.
Nah, that's really great. You know, while you're speaking, you know, you remind me of this artist, forgot his name, but he draws people on the train in New York City.
Yeah, I've seen that guy.
Yeah, and you look at his stories, like, you know, he was drawing different people, posting on social media consistently. And as people started to engage in it and like it, you know, his platform grew and he was able to monetize through that. But I can just imagine how long the amount of hours he had to spend, you know, practicing drawing people in 30, like what, 2 minutes train ride. I feel like there's something people don't necessarily see, like the hard work that goes behind it before you're able to monetize as an artist. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. And I want to kind of, you know, circle back to the sexy bunny in regards to, because you mentioned something that's interesting in terms of compromise. I want to ask, how has your faith, you know, basically as a Christian, help you in this journey, you know, not to compromise and not to go on a fast pace, you know, like how has your faith in Christ help you, you know, stay focused on what's important?
You know, it's funny. The nice thing about being in the Christian community is you really get a grasp for how many people are out there. Like, it's not a small community by any means. There's a lot of different people with a lot of different ideas and a lot of different thoughts. And, you know, it's been really informative to me to meet and engage with people from all across the spectrum, from people who are more on the progressive side to people that are more on the fundamentalist side. Like, I feel like I've been able to make, you know, friends kind of all around. And that part's been really enriching, you know, that, you know, your Christianity isn't limited to the group you meet with at church, you know, during the week. It's like, no, we're part of a global community, a brother and a sisterhood that's bigger than any of us can imagine. And we're all over the world and everywhere. And it's been really cool in that sense to do that, you know, to meet these different people. Now, when it comes to, you know, biblical principles, like how does my faith influence my art, you know, that one, again, just comes down to like, you know, like the First Thessalonians, I think it's 4:12, the one, you know, seek to make a quiet life and work with your hands. You know, the Bible is very clear that you are not the star. And I think part of that is helpful in art, because I think sometimes putting your art out there feels like a narcissistic act, right? Like, look at this thing I've made. It's all about me. And the more you can like shine the light either on other people or on Jesus, I think it makes it much more true, right? Because it's, I don't know, people see through when you're just posting stuff about yourself and or your art is yourself, or even when you're posting for yourself, it rings differently than when you're trying to do something that's beyond yourself. So I think Christianity leads it to itself. I think when people do engage in Christian art, especially, you're joining a lineage that goes back thousands of years. You know, Christians have been documenting their journey through art. And in some cases, that's all we have. You know, you go to a museum and the art is not only Christian, but it's like the religions of the day. Like, that's all that's left, you know, basically, is the art that people made for their religion at the time. So it's like you get to engage in this very human, amazing thing that God gives us to do. And in some cases, in worship to him through our gifts. And it's something that people should enjoy and take a hold of. I mean, you know, there's nothing worse than having a talent or a desire or a burning need to do something. And you put that literal, you know, barrel over the lamp type of thing. Like, yeah. And it's hard because every artist wants to do something, right? But it's always tomorrow. It's like, oh, tomorrow I'll get to it. You know, like I'm going to do it, but I'll get to it later. Or, you know, I run into the same problem every other artist does. Like, oh, I'll do it when I get this app, or I'll do it when I get this pen, or I'll do it when I get this piece of software that's going to help me do this, or I'll do it when I get, you know, a new camera or a different lens or a new pen or, you know, whatever, like, you know, name it. I feel like every artist across every genre runs across the same thing. Man, I lost the question again. I feel like I'm rambling, but, you know, basically the idea, you know, that it kind of, like I said before, artists are people who create art. And if you're creating art, you get to be a part of that family. And I just encourage people to do it. Like I said, even the smallest amounts, you know, I don't remember the account. There's a social media account where a guy does everything on sticky notes. And it's like, you know, basically stick drawings. He's got like 100,000 followers and it's like a theory a day or whatever. And it's like, you could do this.
And I'm glad that you mentioned one thing that you said that stood out to me. I think two things that you said is one, that we're part of a bigger body. You know, I feel like as Christians, you know, whatever the denomination or theological belief, we can get so stuck in our own world, not realizing that there's millions, billions of people, you know, all over the world, you know, we're saying that Jesus Christ is our savior. And that should be what's matter. The little things that we argue, things, those should be not, we shouldn't be arguing about that. We shouldn't put too much focus on that. And I'm glad that you mentioned that. And also for those who listen, I don't want them to overthink what you just said in terms of that tomorrow is not promised. You know, we always think we can reach out to these people tomorrow. We can start drawing tomorrow. You know, like you said, somebody just drawing on a sticky note. Like that's probably, I can imagine how much that costs, you know, to get a pencil, a pen, and just draw and post it. So I feel like those who are listening, you should definitely use your talent, you know, whatever God has called you to do, you know, take advantage of it, find a way to start edging at it, you know, whether it's reaching out to one person, making one video, because tomorrow is definitely not promised. And which kind of leads me to want to ask you in regards back to social media, because your social media has definitely grown since you started. And you mentioned that, you know, if an artist, if they're growing and they have yet to reach 1,000 followers, you know, that's usually like the, I guess, when you know people are actually engaging and actually liking you, what would you say to someone who may not be at that 1,000 and they're working their way? Like, what are some tips, some social tips they can use to get to that 1,000 followers?
Yeah, that was probably harsh. Maybe I shouldn't have said that because there's so, because there are people who are doing good work out there, and there is a problem with social media where if you're not antagonistic a little bit, like it's hard to grow sometimes, like the, you know, that's kind of the gasoline you could pour on your account. But I would say, you know, social media is a nice metric to figure out how you're doing. So maybe 1,000 was more arbitrary, but you know, if you're doing the same thing over and over and over again, and you're not growing, then there's something wrong there. I think some people need to remember that social media is a community, like you're building a community. So if all you're doing is just posting your stuff and wondering why nobody's coming, it's because you're not adding to the community. So I would say when you pick a platform, you know, the idea isn't like, oh, I'm just going to post my stuff. And I think I am going to call out churches on this because I think they run into this where, you know, a church will set up a social media page, you know, like let's say Instagram, and it's a one way, like, here's our programs, here's our this, here's our that. And maybe they'll answer comments, but that's about it. But the trick with social media is it's a community. So you need to go out and you need to connect with other people. A lot of that looks like going to accounts that are kind of like yours and commenting and making friends, you know, finding people who are doing the things that you want to do and asking them questions, learning from them. You know, it's, and the more you do that, the more you kind of feed into it. Not only will your account grow, but you'll actually make friends. You'll meet people. You'll learn things. You'll figure out the things that aren't working on your page and that are working somewhere else. You know, sometimes it is just time, right? So it's like you're not gonna start an Instagram page today and get to 1,000 followers in a month. It's you know, some people do, but that's not normal. But it is, you know, it's one of those things, like if you're working at it for a year and you're just not going anywhere with it, you know, it's good to evaluate what you're doing. You know, like if like I said, if it's just a one-way road and you're just putting content out there, then maybe that's all it is and that's fine. But if you're trying to grow a community and it's not growing, you know, you have to look at all those different things. Are you contributing to the community in whole? Or are you just posting stuff for yourself? Are you commenting? Are you making friends? Are you being friendly with the people who comment on your stuff? Are you sharing other people's stuff? I mean, it's, you know, it's all these things together. And I found out later, you have to think a little more like the machine, you know, because Instagram, especially, maybe the other ones are probably the same, but they reward people who keep people on the app. So yeah, if you're engaging in DMs and keeping people on the app, that's a positive. If you are getting a lot of comments, you're keeping people on the app, that's a positive. If you're replying to comments and getting people to come back to your post over and over again, that's a lot. If you're sharing other people's stuff, you know, so it's, there's a mix of things that especially with social media that has almost nothing to do with your art in particular, but has more with that community building aspect. And I would almost say that's a separate skill in and of itself, like navigating social media. But that's, you know, one of those things that you find when you really start doing this stuff, you know, kind of going back to your own business, you start picking up these skills that are marketable yeah. to other people. And you know, who knows, maybe you get on there and you don't like making the art, but you like doing all the social media stuff. Like I am not a reels person. Like I am not a TikTok or a tick. almost sounded like the 45-year-old dad that I am. I'm not a TikTok person. I'm not a reels person. I'm not a shorts person. Even just thinking about it just stresses me out. But to some people, like that's a lot of fun. Like, oh, putting yeah. a reel together, doing that. So it's exploring and figuring that stuff out. And I've seen some artists that have leapfrogged me huge because they embrace reels and I didn't. Right. So it's, you know, there's a part of that where it's, you got to kind of look at the trends and what's important. I think now reels are coming down, but carousels are coming back up. So, you know, there's a part of that to pay attention to. So I don't know. Some of it's a lot of fun. Some of it's, you know, it's like anything. It's like SEO back in the day or, you know, door-to-door marketing 30 years ago. It's just another part of, yeah. of the business that you got to figure out and see how it works.
Now, that was very, I like the way how you describe social media, that you have to put in value in order to get it back. Because oftentimes, you know, I feel like it's easy for people to fall into a trap because they post something. You know, it may look good to you, you may enjoy it, but are you providing value to people in order for them to want to stay on the app? You know, are you, igniting conversation that people will want to have? And I feel like that's very important for people to, you know, reflect on. And I want to ask, you know, being that said, are there any specific resources you would tell or direct people to, specifically for social media, for artists, you know, that they can look into?
No, you know, I've tried some of them, you know, like these apps that'll tell you like all the insights and everything that you can get. And they just never worked out for me. They were all too overwhelming. I didn't understand it. You know, really the apps themselves provide a lot of value. So Instagram especially has like all these metrics, you know, all these insights, your follower count, your engagement, stuff like that. So it's like, you figure out the tools of the app that you're using. I would recommend people only go through one social media at a time. You know, I think a lot of us, a lot of times, especially art and especially visual art, you like, okay, I'm going to create a website and then Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's too much. It's there, you know, again, it's like you're trying to build a community. You can't yeah. build a community on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and something else all at the same time, just by like pushing your stuff out there. There's got to be this intentionality about what you're doing. And kind of like I was talking about earlier, the process, you know, it's like when you're starting out, the process is responding to all the comments and commenting on other people's stuff and building other people's site. I mean, you know, it's one of those things, like if you spend all your time promoting other people, like that's going to be huge. That's going to be big,
yeah.
you know? So there's so much more to it than just posting your stuff and looking at the analytics. So I would say keep it simple at first. Cause again, you're trying to build the routine,
yeah.
you know, like, and I think people sometimes look a little too inward, you know, it's like, oh, I post five times a week. Why haven't I gained any traction? And it's like, well, you're not helping the community, you're just kind of posting your own stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, when you get to, you know, tens of thousands of followers, that, you know, things change, obviously, you know, it becomes a little different. But when you're first starting out, you know, you make friends, you build communities, and then you'll see growth.
That's really great. And I want to, you know, kind of wrap this conversation of, you know, with, you know, where do you see yourself taking this, you know, sketchy design that you're doing? You know, do you ever see yourself making it a full-time business? And what can people expect from you in the near future?
Well, I've slowed down a little bit now just because I ended up getting some book deals. So I'm working on a couple of different things. And that's been really exciting. You know, that was kind of the pinnacle. Like, I never thought when I started this, like, oh, I'm going to be in print. Like, that would be amazing. Yeah. And, you know, you quickly find yourself in the position where, like, there's too much work. I can't do it all. So I got to slow down. So yeah, for the next few months, at least probably the first half of this year, I'm probably going to be pretty quiet because I'm trying to figure out what all this looks like. I got to a spot where I got to, like, I think it was 27,000 followers, and it's hard, you know, all of a sudden it's like I've almost built myself a full-time job that I'm not necessarily getting paid for with the social media stuff. Cause it's real easy to get up there, and it's hard because it's fun, you know, the people comment, people like your stuff and they share it and it's enjoyable. But, you know, it's like, you know, I've still got this other job and I've still got this life that I'm trying to balance on top of all this. So I don't have a good outlook yet on what's going to happen in the next year. I've thought about, you know, because I am a web developer. So I'm like, do I pivot? Can I do some of this more in the web development sphere? So I don't know. The problem I do find with Christianity, especially with the quotes, is that you do get a fair amount of smoke, you know, when you post something, you know, with the negative comments. It's funny. When I first started, I always thought the atheists and the secularists were the ones that would be coming after me. And it's not. It's other Christians. It's like you're not fundamental enough. And if you go to the fundamental side, you're not progressive enough. Like, you can never be enough. For some people, like, there's people out there that are just trying to shrink Christianity down to this, like, impossible little pinhole that nobody can fit through. And so that part does get a little tiring. So there's definitely days lately where it's like, oh man, I don't know if I want to deal with all the comments today, you know? So it's kind of hard. So I'm still trying to figure out, you know, each stage of this has been really interesting. You know, at first it was a lot of fun doing everything, and then, you know, when I was in like the 10,000 follower range, like, people were sending me a lot of small projects. And then, you know, it's just interesting to see how it goes. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure I'll still be here. I'm sure I'll still keep posting stuff after these books are done. But for right now, it's more book writing, you know, than anything else. And then when that's done, I'm sure I'll be drawing more people.
That's good. And when can people expect the book to come out?
Oh, gosh, not this year. I've never realized, like, publishing timelines are long. Like, you know, like I said, I write software and it's like quick. Like, oh, we need this web application done, and it's got to be done in 3 months and published and, you know, out there on the web. Like, yes. And then in books, it's like, it takes months just to get contracts written up, and their dates are way out there. I mean, they're, you know, obviously they have a bigger thing they're trying to think about. They're not just pumping out books. So I mean, just if you follow me, I'm sure I'll talk about them when we get closer to release dates and whatnot. There's one I can't talk about that much, which is exciting but also frustrating, because it's like, this is really cool, but I get it, you know, we can't talk about it, so whatever.
That's good. And I definitely, you know, I could definitely relate to you in regards to the criticism, you know, they're not so friendly. And because, you know, it's funny, because you would think that you would get into a lot of conversation or arguments with people who are not in the Christian faith. But like you said, I've come to understand, like, a lot of people, because of the so many different denomination and so many different theological, like, every week, I'm like, whoa, I did not know that. And, like, you know, I have to be more mindful of how I speak, because, you know, speaking to billions of people from different things. So I could definitely relate to that. And one thing I personally be doing, just realizing that I'm doing God's work. You know, I can't let these people around me, you know, say anything, because most of you don't know me off of social media. Just social media is what they know me as. So that's what I will say to try to encourage you to keep on going, because most people don't know you outside of what you put on social media. So I hope that I encourage you. And I want to ask you, as we closing this up, this interview, if you can have a word of wisdom for an artist, upcoming artist, what would that message be to that upcoming artist or an artist who may be struggling, growing, you know, growing their business, or even just getting some spotlight on themselves?
That's hard. I will say the thing that has helped me the most is kind of like I said earlier, when I removed the money aspect from my art, then my art became something way more important. When you're expecting your art to make money, especially earlier, you have to make all kinds of compromises to do that, because people, when people are paying you, they want to use your art to accomplish their vision. They're not trying to accomplish your vision. They just want your style or whatever to do what they want to do. And sometimes that can be hard as an artist, because you want to, you know, draw or make these grandiose things, and somebody else is like, well, I'm selling widgets, and you know, I need you to draw something for widgets, and you have to take that job because you need the money to pay a bill. So I would say for artists, the best thing you can do is to offload that pressure from your art. You know, I can't tell you how many times, and people I've known where it's like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, branch out and do my music, and if I don't make it in 6 months, then I'm gonna give up. And it's like, you're probably not gonna make it. Like, don't, like, you're putting unrealistic expectations on your art. Like, art should be something that's beautiful and meaningful and impactful. And when you put that money aspect on it, you compromise it. You know, some people are able to break through that, you know, so I don't want to put it out there that, you know, anybody who does that's going to fail, because there are people who somehow break through that and they're able, you know, their art is so striking or so different, or their message is so clear that they can rise above that. But for most of us, you know, if you keep your art more personal and not needing to put that money aspect on it, the more you can grow it to something that's pure and closer to your original vision. I would also say, you know, the routine is the biggest thing. Like I said before, you don't need to be paid to be an artist. Like, if you make art, you're an artist. So if you're a songwriter, if you're a poet, if you are an illustrator or drawer, whatever, as long as you're doing it, you are the artist. You don't have to compromise on that. And I think people think, you know, that the thing they would love to do is their art all day long. And I would even caution against that. You know, like, I love drawing, but if I had to do it for 8 hours a day, like, that might be a problem. Like, it's physically demanding. You know, there's a lot to it. It's like, you know, if you can, you know, the trick is, man, if you can find that job that pays you enough and you enjoy, and that's, I've been very fortunate. I lucked into web development. I stumbled into it and I found that I really love it, but I get to drink coffee and listen to music and write code, and it's tons of fun. And then I get to do my art on the side. So it's a wonderful life. I can't complain. And I hope people can find that same thing, where they find that thing that can feed their family and take care of their bills and they enjoy, but also they can fulfill their vision that they have on the side. You know, that thing that God's put on their heart doesn't have to be compromised so that they can pay their bills.
I think that's very important. You know, I would definitely want to say, you know, thank you, Mr. Paul, for your time. And, you know, for those who are listening, I hope you guys don't see as another person on the Wealth in Christ show who's sharing their story and sharing their vision that God has given them. But I hope this encourages you. I hope this inspires you to get started, you know. And if you're looking for a group of Christians who are working towards becoming financially free, look no further and join the Praying Invest Group. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can hit the subscribe button. And also, if you listen to us on Apple Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review. And stay tuned for next week's episode. And thank you again, Mr. Paul.